This morning, as we consider our text, which you can go ahead and make your way there to 1 John chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 4 and 5 specifically. As we go there, as we consider that, I want to kind of introduce my message this morning. It's practice makes piracy. And it's pirates are cool, right? Like, not like now pirates because they're thieves, but, you know, like the olden day pirates, right? Wait a minute. Like, for Halloween, kids dress up as pirates. Is that good? I don't know if that's so good. You know, they dress up as witches and pirates and skeletons and, I don't know, you know, I'm just saying, that's weird. Practice makes piracy. So be thinking about that title as we read here this morning. John says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. See where I got the title? That's good, right? Oh, come on. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Now, this is a very hard passage for Christians. This is a hard passage for Christians because there is still sin in our lives. There is still sin in me. There is still rebellion. There is still piracy in me against the very throne of God. I sinned this morning, yesterday, the day before that. From the moment I came to know and understand who Jesus was in a saving way, there was still sin. And sadly, until I die, I will still sin. But you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Now, you can read that in one way and you can hear, I fall short and I need to seek perfection. But you would be hearing that incorrectly. The other way to hear that passage is to hear it the way that John intended it. Understand your lawlessness, understand who you are, what you are, and understand who Christ is, that in him there is no sin, and so therefore there is a righteousness that we tap into, or that he pours or covers us with, so that it's as if we do not sin. Now that's no problem. That's wonderful. Before we get into the crux of the message, I want to kind of give you a quick overview of the sermon this morning by giving you my outline. I'm going to throw that one up there. And I want to talk about piracy. I want to talk about practicing. And underneath practicing, there are five different points that I want us to hit. So I want us to consider these things. We'll talk about piracy in just a short moment. But I want to really, really dive into the idea of practicing lawlessness or practicing sin. What does it mean? So first, let's talk about piracy. That's just fun. Did you know you were going to come to church this morning and, like, don your eye patch, you know, and put on your Jack Sparrow hat? Anybody not seen Pirates of the Caribbean? Caribbean? Come on, John. Help me out here.
Sorry.
Come on. Only two people. Never saw it? Oh, yeah, we got to talk big time. Come on. Okay, all right. Anyways, if you haven't seen it, it's a good, the first one I've seen, I don't know about all like the 17 other ones, but the first one was fabulous-ish. I don't know if I should I do that? I don't know what's in that right now off the top of my head, so I'm going to pull that back a little bit. I'm going to say,
use your own discernment. Check Rotten Tomatoes and all that other kind of stuff. So, don't watch any movies. Peter Pan. No, that's bad. I will endorse nothing. I endorse nothing from the pulpit. Except reading and watching scripture unfold before you. Okay. Piracy. Wow, we're way off. I'm glad that you're with me, though. This is great. This is great. So, piracy. Let's define the concept of lawlessness. Looking at the text there, verse 4, it says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Defining sin. If we were to define sin as lawlessness, we would understand that lawlessness is living as if there is no law. It should feel like, this is what it should feel like. When we sin, it should feel like we're being pulled over. The lights go up, the siren goes on, and we get pulled over for a failure to signal while we're walking. Right? That's what it should feel like. You should stop and you should, like, officer, what are you doing? Well, you didn't signal there when you took a left-hand turn. I'm walking. Do I put my hand out? It should feel like, sin should feel like this, like, I didn't do anything wrong. It should feel like that if you're not a Christian. If you feel that way and you are a Christian, if God says, do not commit adultery, and you're like, but that's what life's about. Do not be angry in your heart towards your brothers. Of course I'm going to be angry. If it feels like being pulled over while walking, then you can be sure that you are practicing lawlessness. You are living and dwelling in lawlessness. You are a proverbial spiritual pirate. You are a rebel to the crown. You are against, you are the opposition to righteousness. Because righteousness feels and seems so incredibly amiss. And if you wonder, why is it that the world hates the law of God so much? It's because they are pirates. Because they enjoy the act of rebellion. It is their way of life. It is how they eat, how they breathe, how they live. It is their livelihood. It is everything about them. For the Christian, it should feel like piracy. You should feel like you're evading the law. Like at any moment, the British flag comes up and pulls. They don't pull them over. They come up inside and shoot you and they all that kind of stuff with piracy. It should feel like you're, what am I doing here? What am I doing? I'm on the wrong ship. I need to jump ship here. It shouldn't feel like normal life. It should feel like you're a pirate. It should feel like you're a rebel. Those who are lawless and live in it don't feel like they're lawless. They feel like they're living in association with the laws of nature or the laws of evolution or the laws of man, the laws of whatever. Their own laws, their internal laws. They don't feel like they're lawless when God's law is brought upon them. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning, that's that concept of practice, which we're going to dive into in just a second here. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness because sin is lawlessness. And we'll get to verse 5 towards the end of the message. So with that laying at a base here of understanding piracy, of understanding what pirates feel, that's weird, but it's great. Hopefully it makes connection with you. Understanding that pirates feel like they're just sailing the ocean blue, living their lives, doing what they do. And a Christian aboard a pirate ship should feel like, I got to get off this boat. Right? That's how That's how we're supposed to feel in this world. I got to get off this boat. The next dock, I'm jumping ship. And sometimes you feel like, can I just go overboard? I'll go down to Davy Jones' locker if I have to, you know? I mean, like, just let me walk the plank. Please, please let me get off this boat. So there's the piracy. There's that idea of lawlessness, being in lawlessness. But let me open up for us this idea of practicing. Because although many of us feel like we're stowaways on a pirate ship and we just want to get off, we come to this term of practicing in this verse and in other verses, and we find that, oh no, maybe I'm actually supposed to be on this ship. Maybe I am a pirate. I don't want to be a pirate, but maybe I am a pirate. And so there's a confusion that arises. And John here, he is not intending to confuse us. He is intending to explain and to give us a wonderful test of whether or not we're actually rebels to the crown or if we're truly stowaways, converted aboard ship. Let me do this by bringing to your mind, I'm going to go ahead and hit the next slide. I think it's, you have to hit two more. I'm not a big football fan. I don't watch a whole lot of football. If it's on television, I enjoy. My dad was not a big football fan either. He didn't really sit around and watch football games. But he was a fan of Bear Bryant. You ever heard of Bear Bryant before? He was the... It's okay if you didn't. The only reason why I knew is because my dad talked about him. Bear Bryant was the Alabama coach. He was a coach for Alabama for 25 years. To give you kind of an understanding of what that means, let me share with you, since the inception of college football in the late 1800s, early 1900s here in Florida, the average tenure of a coach in Florida and Tennessee, two top-ranking ones, were 5.1 years. That's the most. That's the average for Florida and Tennessee, for Auburn and Georgia, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Texas A&M, Missouri, LSU, Arkansas, South Carolina. It ranges between 3 to 4 years. That's the average tenure of a coach. And Bear Bryant was the coach for Alabama for 25 years. That's huge. There's a lot of quotes from him about the fact that he was going to stick around. I'm here for you, gentlemen. I'm here for the players. Bear Bryant was the coach, but he was less about coaching football and more about coaching these young men, wanting them to become something bigger. He was said to have said this. I'm going to share with you a few quotes by Bear Bryant. Just this kind of gives you an understanding of who the guy was. Winning isn't everything, but it beats anything that comes in second. Amen, brother. Let me give you a couple of quotes here that kind of help us understand what I think the world and we miss about the idea of practice. Okay? So here's five different quotes. Bear Bryant said this. He said, "There is a big difference in wanting to and willing to." Speaking of winning. You can want to win or you can will to win. That's what he says. Bear Bryant says this also. He said, or said this. "There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears between dreams and success." There's a lot of sacrifice that comes. Number three. "If you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and never quit, you'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards." "Football games are generally won by the boys with the greatest desire." And then this last one here, this is Bear Bryant, he said, Paul Bear Bryant said, "I didn't care if we ever stopped practicing. I loved it. The only other guy I ever knew who loved it as much was Jerry Duncan. He would beg to practice even when he was hurt. I've actually seen him cry because the trainer told him he couldn't scrimmage. This is the idea of practice. This is the idea of seeking the goal to win a prize. Practice in our minds, for sure, we have this idea of seeking to attain to a goal. But we also use that word in a common way, in a normal way. Well, you know, I'm just practicing medicine, for instance, right? Yeah, they are. No, I'm just kidding. They're practicing medicine. It's just kind of a daily thing. They're getting better at it slowly. You know, maybe they get some discoveries here and discoveries there, and we're getting better at it. But it's not like a striving, an earnest goal to attain to the victory where all is right. What John means by saying practicing lawlessness, practicing sin, is not we're just kind of going about our daily business. He's saying those who are striving to attain, those who are seeking to accomplish a goal. And so if you were to follow this outline, if we would follow this outline of those various quotes from Bear Bryant, the first thing we would see is that practice is not willing, but wanting. I'm sorry, it's willing and not wanting. It's desiring to that level. It's willing it to be. It's just not wanting something, because we all want things that we shouldn't want. Amen? It's greater than that. It's willing them to be. I will do this. I will accomplish this. I am going to meet my intended goal. Bear Bryant, what did he say? He said, there's a big difference between wanting it and willing it to be. That's what practicing is focused on. Let me share with you. Hebrews 10:26 says this, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." And what is Hebrews talking about there? It's talking about that very concept of willing it to be. I know God says no, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to get so good, I will not let go. It's not just wanting the wrong things. Hear me. Because you want the wrong things, don't you? Every day you wake up, you're wanting the wrong thing. It's not wanting, it's willing. I will have it. When given the out over and over and over again, if you just want it and you know it's wrong, maybe you succumb, maybe you fall, maybe, but it's not this driving pursuit. I set my life towards this, and this is what I'm going to be. This is how I'm going to act. This is what... You see the difference? There's a big difference between wanting something and willing it to be. Practicing is willing and not wanting, but practicing is also dedication, not simply depravity. Ladies and gentlemen, we are depraved people. We are totally depraved, meaning that every part of our lives is affected by the fall. There's not one element of you that you can say, well, this element of me is good. Like that, all that stuff, you know, I could kind of put it all in a bunch and just kind of drop it right there, and it's, that's the bad stuff. But this is the good. There's a little bit of good in every one of us. No, there's not. It's all bad. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Practicing sin, practicing lawlessness is not depravity. Because we are all children of wrath,
like the rest of mankind. But God has drawn us out of that. Drawn us out of the lifestyle. Drawn us out of the will to break His commands. But we're left with the want. It's not depravity. It's dedication. Let me read to you again what Bear Bryant said. He said, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. If you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and a never quit attitude, you'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. If that's how you feel about breaking God's law, you're a pirate. You're not a Christian. You're a lawless one. You're dedicated. You're dedicated to your sin. I will double down on my sin. When given the opportunity to repent, I run from that because I want it. I desire it. I need it. And I'm dedicated to it. I will live in it. And there's nobody that's going to give this or take this from me. This is mine. And I will spend what I have to. I'll lie. I'll cheat. I'll steal. I'll do anything to uphold it. That's practicing sin. That's practicing lawlessness. That's practicing piracy. And it's not Christian. Practice is dedication, not depravity. We're all susceptible to sin. We're all going to fall. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to want the wrong things. It's whether we have the will to get it, the dedication, the drive to get it. And then thirdly, the sacrifice. Practice is sacrificial. It's not situational. We fall into sin. We come about against temptation and we succumb to it. That's normal. That's human. That's because of our depravity. That's because of our old man or old woman that still resides with us. We still want the wrong things. And so therefore, when situations arise, we fall into it. And heavens to Betsy. You'd think that we'd see the same hole over and over again, but we don't. And we find ourselves laying on our back, looking up and seeing that same old hole. Not this again. God, please lift me out of this. Lord, please get me out of this pit. Set my feet upon the rock. God, protect me from that hole again. And then you turn around and you're like, I've fallen in again. Lord, that's situational. That's not sacrifice. That's not striving to attain, to find the hole and jumping in regardless of what it costs. I will break my legs on the way down if I have to because this is what I want. This is what I will. This is what I desire. It's not just something that I find myself falling into. It's a dedicated end. That's practice. That's practicing sin, practicing lawlessness. Practice is desire, not deception. Let me give you... Bear Bryant said, football games are generally won by the boys with the greatest desire. We ain't playing football, are we? We're living life. And we're living life in rebellion against God. And that hurts. That hurts the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And it should grieve us. If you have a desire, an overwhelming desire, something that you are willing towards, something that you're dedicated to, something that you sacrifice for, and this is the level of your desire, You are not a Christian. You're playing the wrong game. You're fighting for the wrong side. You are opposed to righteousness. Galatians 5:6 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So now what we see here is a stark contrast between desire and deception. Christians fall into deception all the time. We fall into deception when we shouldn't fall into deception. Because here's what happens in sin. Some temptation hits you and makes you think God is not good. He is withholding from you. It's the same thing that was from the beginning. Has God really said you will die? I tell you, you will not die. You will get to be like God. You will have everything you desire. You will be like the Most High. That's what sin promises. Sin promises us those terrible thoughts. And by the wiles of deception, we are swayed. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled, okay? I'm not standing here in front of a group of people that have no idea what I'm talking about. Every single one of us in this room has been deceived when there's been this one part of you that said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." And yet, we take duct tape and we slap that duct tape over the Spirit's mouth. No, 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 no. This sounds right. This sounds good. This is what I don't know what that is. I do, but I'm going to pretend like I don't. Practice is not deception. It's not that internal struggle. There's no struggle in practice except to keep on practicing. Because practice is love and not loathsomeness. You see, you have to remember that a Christian aboard the pirate ship is not taking the helm and trying to drive the ship. They're cowering in the corner, sitting there saying, "How did I get here? And how can I get off? I've got to get off this ship." Practice is love. Practice is desire so much because of this internal love that you have for sin, for rebellion. Whatever the rebellion is, it doesn't matter what the rebellion is. You know what? It doesn't matter how heinous it might seem to your neighbor sitting next to you, or how trite your sin might sound next to you. It's all just as bad. It's all just as evil. Because it's rebellion against your Creator, who has said, "Here is my clay pot. I have set them aside for honor." And you are taking yourself and filling yourself up with dishonor. Piracy. Rebellion. Evil. But the one made for dishonor, the vessel made for dishonor, according to Romans 9, is not working against nature, is not filling him or herself up with the wrong inputted stuff. It is the wastebasket that is taking the trash as it should. So it feels fine. It feels good. It feels like it is
supposed to be that way. It is what you love that determines what kind of vessel you are. If you love the Lord, you hate that you put garbage inside. But if you love the garbage and not the Lord, it feels good and you love that you put garbage inside. What do we do? If you're a pirate, if you're a rebel, if you love your sin, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You will love what you love. You cannot stop loving what you love. You cannot start loving that which is contrary to your own nature. But if your heart is pricked at this moment because you realize you are this rebel and you are losing the taste for the garbage that you have enjoyed, that is not a work of self, but a work of God, making you into a vessel for honor. And so what must you do? Turn yourself upside down. Empty yourself out of all the garbage. And be prepared to be filled up with the love of Christ. That's repentance. And believe that when you're empty, because emptiness is scary. Emptiness means you're brittle. Emptiness means that you could break at any moment, and who knows what's going to happen. Maybe somebody's going to come along and break you, and you don't want to be empty, because if you're empty, you're empty, and you're vulnerable. That's exactly where God wants you. He wants you right there. And He will hold back that picture of His love until He knows, and you know, you're not coming back here to fill it up again. And then, when you're recklessly abandoned to His will and you say, if I break, I break. But I'm not going back to that. That's when He fills you up to overflowing. What if you're a vessel of honor? And you've got trash inside. What do you do? Turn yourself over. Empty yourself out. Shake it if you got to. And be prepared to receive the great, wonderful mercy of God, because it's there. Still inside. You just got to get the nasty stuff that was hanging on top. Repent. And then do it again. And again. And again. And again. And again. For the rest of your life. Why? Because we still want the wrong thing. We still have a depraved nature. We still fall into situations where we get deceived. And even though we have a loathsome attitude to being in sin, it still looks good for a time. Finally, let's look to verse 5. So we have this idea of rebellion, which is like this piracy idea, being aboard the ship, practicing lawlessness, this practice of unrighteousness, of sin,
is lawless. We shouldn't feel weird when we're pulled over by the police officer thinking that we're walking. We're actually driving a million miles an hour through a blind school zone, and he's like, and we're like, we're guilty. Got it. Verse 5 comes in. You know. You get it. You experience. You've got it. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've felt it. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. That's this. That's the dumping it out. He can take that away. He will take it away. That's this. That's the dumping off the top. Skimming up. He can take that away. He came to do that, to take it away. He's going to keep taking it away. And more and more. Every time you turn your life upside down and you say, I repent, I'm going to give it up. He's going to say, and he's going to pull it out. And then he's going to do it again. Because God is long-suffering. He is patient with us every day. He will never look at you and say, you know what? I'm tired of picking you up out of that same old hole. Could you just open your eyes, for crying out loud? Don't walk into that thing next time. That's it. I'm done. Is that how a loving father acts to his children? What's that old story? Boy who cries wolf, right? Yeah. Anybody ever heard of the story of the boy who cries wolf? Here's how it goes, right? Kid, dumb kid. This is the lesson. He's a dumb kid. He goes out into the wilderness and he starts screaming, wolf, wolf, wolf. That's my little boy scream. Wolf, wolf, wolf. Whole town comes out. Ha, 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 ha. There's no wolf. They all go back. Wolf, wolf, wolf. They all come out. Ah, where's the wolf? Ha, ha, ha. I made you guys stop everything you're doing. Third time. There's a wolf. Wolf, wolf, wolf. Nobody comes. He gets eaten. Now I get it. I get the fable. But there's not one good parent in this room that would not continue to go for fear. Even though that little booger is lying, what if he's not? We get that not from internal but external. We get that from God. God is the one who sees his son afar off, who is on his porch looking for his son, who is far off, looking for him to return. And at the very speck, is that my son? There he is. And he pulls up his thingamajig and runs to meet his son. Because every time you turn your life upside down, he puts you back on the shelf. He fills you back up. You know he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him, there is no sin. Praise God for that. In him, he has a righteousness that is pure. He has a righteousness that is holy. He has a righteousness that can withstand the judgment of God. And he gives that to us. In him, there is no sin. And so when we are in him, it is as if we are not in sin. And the depth of this statement is so massive and huge. And in him, there is no sin. Because one day, all sin will be eradicated. And all those who are in him will be sinless. So we are going to find that port where the ship rolls in, the tortugas, or not tortugas, the whatever they are in the Lesser Antilles, I don't know, whatever. You pull into the port. The mast goes down. Everybody's getting off ship. We will exit that boat. We will get off that boat in the slyest of fashions. We will slip right on through, and we will have guardians with us as we get off that boat, this boat called life, and we will no longer be pirates. We will never be flying under that flag ever again. We will be then transported into the king's palace. redeemed and ushered in by his own dear son. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Let's pray together.